It's 6 o'clock on a slightly breezy Friday morning. I look outside my window and I see the morning rain splashing against the window. A dog barks in the distance. I listen closely as the sound of an owl, as it hoots along to the rhythm of the rain and glides along with the flow of the wind. And these are but just a few of the sounds I have at my disposal. Hello, you are listening to The Talk Talk with Dylan, and I'm your host, Dylan Heron Sewell. Today is very special because today is the first day of the rest of your life, and you are alive. They say when life hands you lemons, you are to make lemonade. But what they don't tell you is what to do with the lemonade after it is made. There are two obvious choices. The first, of course, is to just drink the lemonade and enjoy it. The second, and the one in which most entrepreneurs will take, is, of course, to sell the lemonade. To sell or to enjoy? That is the question. Now, seeing how the first option is very easy to understand, you take a sip of lemonade, you enjoy it, end of story. Let's explore the second one a bit. So you've decided to sell your lemonade. Great, seeing as nobody's just going to buy a glass of lemonade from some random guy on the street, you'll have to set up shop, and by set up shop I mean buy a table and a sign. Now you either had to borrow money to make that possible, or perhaps you saved up, but either way you were pretty broke and you need to start making some cash. So you sell your first glass of lemonade, and the woman that bought it from you liked it enough to tell her friends. This is great and the best way of doing business because you cut costs by not having to advertise, and you're building yourself a nice reputation. Eventually, supply and demand start getting lopsided, and the demand is greater than the supply. You're already pulling in over 80 hours at the stand, and you're the only one working it. So you hire some kid down the street to help out, pay him $2 an hour, and that's when you remember about child labor laws, and you have to give little Johnny the boot. Instead, you hire some teenager who immediately brings up minimum wage, and now you're having to pay him $7.50. It's good having the extra help, but you can't relax now because all those glasses you ordered have broken or chipped and you have to buy new ones. And while you're at it, you're going to need to order a lot more lemons because life stopped giving them out a long time ago. All of this, and you still haven't had the time to take a sip of your own lemonade. You keep at it, years go by, and you open up another lemonade stand. Now you've got a chain, more lemons, better recipes. Finally, there you are, 40 years later, sitting on your yacht, your beautiful wife by your side, and a glass of lemonade in your hand. You take one sip and immediately spit it out. It's sour, and something tells you all the sugar in the world wouldn't sweeten it. That bitter taste comes from all the years spent coming up in the world, knocking down all the other lemonade stands and fighting for your way to the top. Your wife doesn't love you, she's only here for the yacht and money. Everything you built means absolutely nothing, and you're going to die from a heart attack in 2 years because of all the stress. And that is capitalism.
Ooh, girl, I wanna make you cry my name out by killing you.
Should I write a song about murder?
Today, my first guest is going to be an older guest who I have previous experience podcasting with. We did a show called The Talk Talk with Dad, and it was a comedy variety type
podcast.
That wasn't the word I was looking for.
Oh, my apologies.
Oh, yeah. Improvisational podcast.
Improvise. Yeah.
So my guess.
Extemporaneous is what I was thinking of. Extemporaneous.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. My first guest and my only guest is Daniel Spagnuella.
Thank you, Dylan. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you on the show. Thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome.
So a lot of the stuff that we did before was comedy. That was the majority of the thing that we did.
Right.
It was a comedy podcast.
Well, you know, we at least attempted comedy.
Oh, yeah. I think that should be stressed. It was attempted comedy. which is not the so attempted murder is not the same as murder.
But it's still a very serious crime.
It's pretty serious though. So I guess it was kind of serious what we were doing. So to kick it off, what's new with you, Daniel?
What's new with me? Well, I just recently got a new job.
How's that?
Not great. Just like part-time work at like a I don't want to say the company name on the podcast.
Sure.
Partly, I mean, not that I feel like they're going to be listening and get me in trouble. I'm just embarrassed about where I'm working because I think it's garbage. But no, I mean, I'm glad to have the job. Tomorrow I have to go take a urine drug test.
Sure. And
I'm not looking forward to that.
You should pass with flying colors.
I mean, I definitely will.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't fail the drug test. It's just the humility of having to piss in a cup while someone waits outside the door is very stressful for me.
It is stressful. It's kind of weird too, because they're so close and you're like, are they listening?
Yeah. I once had a situation, like, I don't think it was for a drug test, but I had to piss in a cup. I think for just medical reasons, it might've been a drug test. I don't remember. Well, and I was just like, cause usually with the drug test, they're like, we'll be right outside the door. You have like 40 minutes to do this. And it's like a lot of pressure. I feel like this one didn't have as much pressure, but it was just like a bathroom. And then I just hear the guy who's like taking my specimen. He's just like talking to like another nurse or helper or whatever they call a technician. And they're just talking and I can hear the conversation clear as day. And I'm just like sitting on the toilet, just like, I can't go because I'm like, they're right outside the door and I can hear their conversation. Surely they can hear me pee. And then eventually after like 10 minutes passed, like, I'm like, I can't piss. So I open the door and they're like, oh, you done? I'm like, no, actually I can't go because I'm distracted by your guy's conversation. And he's like, oh, okay. And then I closed the door. Like, this is a legit story. This really happened. I had to tell someone, like, I can't go to the bathroom while you're talking. And then I after that, you know, I was able to manage it.
Oh, man. So they stopped?
Yeah. I'm like, can you guys just be quiet? I can't go and I hear your conversation. And they're like, oh, okay. And I think they just, like, I think maybe the woman left the room and he was quiet. It was a weird situation.
Yeah. This is actually a great / not great topic to explore, because I have a lot of stories about pissing in public.
Hey, I'll be the first to admit that I am I'm not a piss in public guy. I'm a bit of a timid tinkler.
Yeah. When I was younger, I would never do it. I'd always have to go into a stall and do piss. I would never want to go, like, forget about the urinals. Just forget it, because I never did it.
The last time I pissed in a urinal was, like, 2004. That's not a joke.
Yeah.
That is very true.
Well,
actually, that may not be true. I can't go in a urinal. I can't do it. Yeah. If I'm pissing in public, it's a stall. Yeah. I am like crippled fear. The mere thought of,
you're like pissing yourself just thinking about.
And I'm really picky about the stalls too. I could go on for days about how awful public bathrooms are.
Oh, they're bad.
Why do they have public bathrooms where the dividers of like the stalls, they're not flush? Why do they engineer that at all?
I don't know, because I've seen bathrooms do it perfectly.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's
but some it's people proven. Are cheap.
It's proven to be possible.
Just like anyone who like walks by, if they just like if they glance over, they'll see like a glimpse of you on the toilet, and that's upsetting to me.
I know. It's upsetting to see someone on the toilet.
Yeah, don't look over.
I try not to, but it's like you're, you know, you're, because you're also checking to see maybe is this,
oh, is anyone
is
in
this
there?
Open?
Yeah, yeah. I get it.
You know? And then you look and you like see somebody's leg and you're like, okay, that's obviously, you know, somebody's in there. But then you're like, I just saw somebody, you know, shitting and I don't
that's
want
not
to.
That's not a good feeling.
I don't want to do that. So
to me, the best bathroom is just like the ones that have the tiled mason walls as dividers.
Those are the best. Where you're the only one in allowed in the bathroom, the whole bathroom.
Yeah. No, what?
Yeah, well, so I love the bathrooms that, like, you can go into and you lock it.
Oh, it's, no, it's I can't.
One toilet bathroom.
I can't deal with that either.
You can't deal with that? Why?
Because then I'm like, I don't trust the lock on this door. If someone opens it and this lock is not set or it does not hold up, they're going to open me to the public. And I'm just going to be with my pants down or whatever. I can't do it, man.
I mean, I make sure it's locked, you know.
Do you do that thing? Do you do that thing where you like, because like, okay, if it's one of the push button locks, I'm like, no, I'm not comfortable with that. Like, I'll go in. I'll have to test it beforehand. You know, I'll open the door, lock it from the inside, and then jiggle the handle on the outside to make sure it works.
Yeah,
I gotta do that check.
I always check like 3 times before. Yeah. Before now, anything.
Now, if it's one of those that actually has a physical turn lock, so you can like visually confirm that it's locked,
yeah,
then I'm all good. I'm all good. Plus, like I've gotten to the point where I feel comfortable pissing in a stall with other people around.
Yeah.
But taking a number two, which I assume is poop, completely different story.
Yeah. Same year.
I still haven't mastered it.
I have to wait until, like, okay, if they're 2 stalls down, maybe I can go if I, like, put on my headphones. But, like, if they're right next to me, I have to wait. And then I there's this vicious cycle of wondering if they're doing the same thing, like, waiting until I leave take a dump. And then I'm waiting until they leave. And then, like, we just both don't leave. Or one of us is more brave than the other and finally takes a dump.
That's a terrible standoff. Let me tell you a story about my peeing anxiety. Oh, it was the last time I was driving to Austin, and there was like massive traffic. Like I was in traffic for hours, and like I really had to go to the bathroom, and like this struck me like an hour, and I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom, and then like. 30 minutes later, I'm like, I really have to go. Like, now I really gotta go. And then 30 minutes later, I'm finally out of traffic. And I'm like, I gotta find the next rest stop and go to the bathroom right now. Like, I'm very uncomfortable. My bladder's hurting. This has to happen right now. So I go to the first rest stop that I see, and it's like a gas station. And I go inside. And of course, because it's like the first gas station after this giant traffic jam, it's super busy. There's like people going in and out of the bathroom constantly. And like, there's like first a guy in front of me, and then he went to the bathroom. Like, you know, I'm gonna hang back, wait until he comes out. And then like, I'm just kind of like over by Chips looking at him. And then I see like 2 more guys going. I'm like, okay, this isn't happening. So I didn't even bother walking in the bathroom. I just left at that point. I'm like, this isn't gonna happen. I don't feel comfortable here. You know, I think I'm still uncomfortable just peeing in a stall, because it wasn't the place that you knew were going to have good bathrooms.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm uncomfortable peeing in a stall with other people. Unless, like, I don't know. I like, freaked out, and in the moment I got in my car and I drove. So now I really have to go, like, it's, like, numbing. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to find the next place and go. And then, like, the next place was, like, a really run-down gas station, like, okay, their bathroom's not going to be clean. I also can't pee in a dirty bathroom. That's also another thing I have a standard on. So I felt like I go, like, exit after exit until finally there's, like a Pilot. Like, one of those truck stop bathrooms I know is going to have, like, a good bathroom. Maybe even, like, the full, complete wall divider even.
Yeah.
So I finally find one after, like, 10 minutes of driving, and I'm It's just like one of those, like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Like, I get out of my car and I'm like, I don't know if this is going to happen. It happened.
Did it happen?
I successfully peed. It was nice.
Oh, man.
I'm very neurotic about my peeing. And I used to think I was at a place where I'm like, nah, man, I'll just do it. I don't think I am.
You know, but you're on your way.
Yeah.
Getting there. I feel like every day. Well, I know that I used to be a lot more nervous about it. And to where, like, I would not go in a urinal at all.
Yeah, before I detoured you, you were talking about that.
Yeah.
About, as a kid, you would.
Oh, yeah. So nowadays, I will go in the urinal, but I can't go if there's someone already there next to me. Like, I would just wait, or I would go to the, you know, I would go into a stall. If someone's there peeing, or if I'm already peeing, like, I'll go up to the urinal, but I'll, like, be afraid, and my heart will be beating a little bit faster, because I'm going through the process of thinking, okay, I'm going to go here to this urinal, and I'm going to whip out my junk, and right. I'm going to pee, but I got to start peeing before someone else walks in. Because if I don't start peeing before someone walks in,
I'm gonna freeze.
So as long as I'm going, then they can walk in. I'll be uncomfortable, but I'll be able to go.
You'll get that kind of adrenaline high. You'll be like, oh man,
I made it, dude. Oh, this is crazy.
Public bathrooms are disgusting.
They are. So I do have this story. I have several kind of scary yeah, like as a kid, so
a scary story.
Yeah, scary bathroom stories as a
well,
kid.
let me say,
you keep interrupting the story.
Well, I just wanted to elaborate on something I said.
Okay,
it's very short. The last time when I said I pissed in the urinal in 2004, I had to go to the bathroom. It was at a rest stop, and then, like, you know, middle of nowhere, there was no one else there but me. And, like, the stall just, like, someone, like, crapped everywhere and didn't flush, and it was disgusting. So I'm like, I guess I'll just piss in the urinal. And it was, like, I was still very nervous about it, and it was kind of freeing, but literally, like, no one was around me for miles.
Oh, man.
Okay, I just wanted to throw that in.
Okay, so I'm young. I'm a kid. I don't know how I'm old. Maybe I'm...
Okay, so you're a kid and this is a horror story? Does this, like... does this get molesty?
No. Just wait.
Okay. All right.
So
all right.
I'm, like, 12 years old, 13, around that age, and I'm still, like, super nervous about going to the bathroom in public bathrooms and super nervous about going to urinals and all that stuff. So I go into the restroom and I go into a stall and... I wait until I can't hear anybody, you know, everybody's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pee, and then I'm like waiting. Okay. Nobody's in this stall. And then I had this weird thing to where I couldn't leave the stall. And I did this a lot. I couldn't leave the stall until everyone was gone from the bathroom.
So, like, you're finished.
I'm finished, but I'm waiting until no one else is in the bathroom to see me leave the stall and wash my hands.
You know, I kind of get that. Like, and every time I exit a stall after, like, you know, like, I poop and then someone walks in midway, but I'm like, I'm already pooping, whatever.
Yeah.
Or peeing. Like, every time I walk out, it's awkward. It's like everyone's in the bathroom to do their thing, and you know that it's happening, but it still just feels like you're going to come out and someone's going to look you in the eye, and you're like, what, man? I'm just human.
I know, right? It's like everyone's doing it, but, like, it's super weird. And yeah. I don't know what – even now, thinking back on it, I'm like, wow. I still don't – I actually don't understand why I had a problem leaving the stall when I was done. But that was a serious concern of mine. And so
– go on.
That was a huge deal. So
Hold on. I feel like this is going to get to, like, a really good place, and I want to throw in a little detail before you do.
Okay.
Going back to, like, stall – being embarrassed in a stall – whenever I'm in a stall, just, like, doing whatever, the idea that the walls are smaller than I am tall kind of, like, weirds me out. So I kind of, like, crouch over so someone can't see the top of my head. You know, like just to give me like the the feeling of safety and and total privacy, I kind of crouch over so no one's like, oh, he's buckling his belt and zipping his pants right now. I'm like, I'll step up and I'll buckle my belt and kind of crouch over while I do it.
I do the same thing.
It's crazy.
I know, right?
Jesus, what is wrong with us?
I don't know. People are going to listen to this and we just are going on for about like a half an hour about the same subject and no one is going to like, everyone's just going to be like, I do not get what their problem is. They need help.
This is quality confessions of timid tinklers. This is good podcasting.
I think this is the best podcast. So,
okay, tell us your story. So you don't want to escape.
Okay, so
I'm going to be quiet.
So I'm at this stall, and okay, granted, this is like, I'm really young and I'm alone in the bathroom, and we're in the middle of nowhere, like we're traveling, and it's at this rest stop. So already it is kind of weird. I'm super nervous, and I wait until I hear nobody. And I think, this is great, I'm going to go. So I open the door, and as soon as I open the door, there's a man standing, staring straight at me. What? And he has a hook for a hand.
What?
Okay, so I freak out. Like,
of course you do. That's crazy.
I yell, right? I'm a kid. There's a guy with a hook for a hand, and he's staring right at me. And I think, I'm going to die. I'm for sure going to die. Like at any second, he's going to come at me with this hook and he's just going to stab me and like leave me in the stall.
Yeah.
And like, it's my fear. Like it's my fear of leaving the bathroom.
Like not only is there a guy out there, he has a hook hand.
Right. Not only was I wrong about someone not being out there, but this guy has a hook for a hand.
Surely he knows, as a man with a hook hand, who's like a cliche of any sort of horror camp story, that the last thing you should do is be waiting at a door. Like, even if you didn't have a hook hand, that's weird enough. But if you have a hook hand, what are you trying to fucking kill people? Like, at a fright? That's insane. Like, that's not acceptable behavior for a regular person, and definitely not a guy with a hook hand. You gotta be aware.
And he's standing there, like, you know, he's like, his back is to the urinal.
Okay. So like, he's like right
maybe,
at.
Maybe he was waiting to like wash his hands or dry his hands or who knows. But I do know that I stood in that urinal or in that stall for a very long time hearing nothing at all.
So he's just like silently.
He's silently standing there.
Do you think like maybe he felt like you were dying and he's like, should I check in on this kid? I'll be really quiet to see if I can hear him breathing.
I don't think so. No, not at all. So I do not wash my hands. I run out of the bathroom and my heart is just pounding in my chest and I'm looking for my sister and wanting to get out of there and almost to the point where I say, sis, we gotta go. It's bad. But then halfway through it, I realize he didn't kill me.
Right.
Which I realized that as soon as I walked outside of the bathroom. But before then,
how old were you?
Like, he was legit going to kill me. Not a doubt in my mind.
How old were you when this happened?
12, 13 years old.
Okay. See, that's, I thought like maybe 8, 10. But okay, go on.
No, no.
It's a little older than I would have thought. Okay, so
this is what I'm saying. This fear goes very deep, so okay. It's not. I mean, you know, we're still dealing with our problems.
I mean, if that happened to me like tomorrow,
you would be freaked, wouldn't you?
No, yeah, I'd be like, what is this guy's problem?
Right?
Like, why is he like? What's going on?
Okay.
What's his problem?
Well, anyway. That's the end of that story. Now, the second story, which I should have started with because it's going to be like a downer. I mean, it just kind of goes nowhere.
Okay.
But there was another similar story where I'm in the bathroom. There's nobody there. I'm at the stall and I'm like, okay, it's time to leave now. It's like 2 a.m. We're traveling. I'm always traveling when these bathroom horror stories happen.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I was, you know, alone. My mom's outside. And so I'm like, okay, it's go time. And I walk outside And there's a lot of stalls. And there's this guy standing, staring straight at me, eyes bulging, bloodshot. And he's looking right at me. And he's blocking my entrance. You know, he's blocking the exit.
Yeah.
And I freak. And I, like, just dart right past him and leave. And luckily, he didn't do anything, but it was just the same deal. My heart just, I had a heart attack.
I mean, he sounds like he's, like, high on meth or something.
Sure, he was. But at the time, I'm thinking, this guy's going to kill me. he's been waiting. Because he was another silent person. He was, you know, and what was he doing waiting?
Who knows, man? Who knows? Maybe he's like a timid tinkler and he's just waiting for you to leave.
You know, maybe we're all timid tinklers.
Deep down.
Too afraid to admit it.
I think the true weirdos are the ones who aren't timid tinklers. Those are the true sociopaths,
right?
You gotta look out for.
You gotta watch out for them, because what are they thinking?
I don't have a lot of panic. Like, I have a lot of anxiety stories. Obviously, every time he's in the bathroom, I'm a little anxious about it. But the only, like, real panic I've ever had at a bathroom was, this happened a couple years ago. This was very recent. No, this happened, you remember when that guy, that Republican senator or whatever, got accused of asking for gay sex at a stall, and he just said he had a wide stance? You remember that?
I don't remember that.
It was like a big deal, and everyone was like making fun of it because he was like, "No, like I guess, like the gay code of wanting to have sex in a men's bathroom is like putting your foot underneath a guy's stall and tapping your foot or something, and that's like, hey, do you want to come in my stall and bang?" And then the guy like taps his foot. I don't know. This is what I heard. This is like the scandal.
So, okay.
I think this is usually for known gay hotspots, not just basically any gay place ever.
Or
any bathroom. Bathrooms, aka gay places. A bunch of dudes taking their dicks out. I mean, I don't want to sound homophobic.
So what was your panic?
Okay. That's fresh in my mind.
Sure.
And me and my friend, we're like driving.
Are you eating a mint right now?
am I juicy?
I feel like there's a wrapper being unfolded and you're like popping mints in your mouth.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's a piece of plastic that I was fiddling with. I didn't realize the mic was going to pick that up.
Just remember, we got to keep it classy because this is the Talk Talk with Dylan, not the Talk Talk with Dad.
Sorry. My fullest apologies. I threw the wrapper away. I have my headphones on, so I couldn't hear it. I can't hear what's going in my end.
Well, yeah, that's what she said.
That even makes sense.
I know.
Okay, so we're on a road trip to like a nearby town that's like a couple hours away. It's not like a big road trip, and this like it's a place that's like just an hour outside of where I live, and it's this bathroom, and I go inside, and you know, like, I have to go to the bathroom, but I'm a little anxious. So I go inside, and then I'm in the bathroom. And there's probably other people in there, like maybe another guy. But a guy comes up behind me. And I don't mean he came up behind me. I walked in, and then behind me walked in another guy. And he's not looking at me in any weird way. But he's just some regular dude, some 50, 60-year-old dude with a mustache and, you know, just real classic Texan guy. And then I go into the stall, and I'm just like, I'm just going to piss. I can piss in a stall with other people. I'm not like, I can usually handle that if I really want to. So I go in there, and then I just think like, whoa. I just have this fear in my head that the guy who walked in behind me is going to want gay sex from me. And there's nothing to prompt this at all. He didn't give me like he didn't like wink at me. He just like, I think he just like got into the stall next to me because it was like, it was packed because there's a lot of guys in there. And then I'm just suddenly thinking like, what if he sticks? Because I got the stall next to the wall. So it's just me and him.
Yeah.
And I just suddenly think, like, what if he sticks his foot underneath here and taps his foot? What if he's, like, gonna ask me for gay sex? And I'm just like, I'm in the stall and I'm sitting there. I'm like, no, no, thank. And I just, like, get up and I walk out of there. And then this makes me sound,
you know, you can always say no.
This makes me sound really homophobic. Well, hey, it's cool. It's just, you know, I don't want people asking me questions while I pee.
Yeah, I mean, we're already nervous enough as it is, just going just like, silence. Even if someone were to say something, you know, anything, it's like a panic attack.
Yeah. So I just immediately leave, and my friend was like, did you go to the bathroom? I'm like, no, I thought a guy was going to proposition me for sex. And he like, it was a very true story. I don't know what was wrong with me that day.
That day you were homophobic. You're not.
I don't think it's, you know, I think it's normal to being very anxious about a guy sticking his foot in your stall and while you're trying to pee and you're already very anxious. It's very normal. A very normal thing.
It's very normal.
But that's my only real panic at a bathroom story.
I have another last panic at the bathroom.
That'd be a really good name for a Panic at the Disco cover band.
Yeah, Panic at the Bathroom.
I wish I knew a Panic at the Disco song so I could.
I know, hear it, right?
In a Weird Al-esque manner.
Sure. Well, we could do that.
But... Whoa, Panic at the Bathroom.
I don't know any of their songs.
Whoa, ooh, ooh, she gave me a look. I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, so this is a recent one, and I was going to the bathroom at work, and I'm in there. I'm trying to remember exactly how it went down, but I remember going to the bathroom, and then in the next stall, I hear someone being really loud, like slamming stuff.
Okay.
But, like, angrily. And then... And then in another stall, there was someone, like, crying.
Jeez, what?
Yeah.
Like a man crying.
Like a man sobbing. Okay. Like, just kind of, like, in terror and, like, but you could
tell. A man sobbing in terror?
Yeah.
Like, he was scared?
Scared and angry. Like, it was an angry cry. He's crying, right? But then you could tell, like it's not just somebody, like, just crying because he's sad. Like, there's something wrong with this guy.
So the stall that you heard a bunch of loud noises was also the stall you heard a guy crying?
No, this was another stall.
Okay, go on.
And around the same time, like, it was so close to the same time, like, right after this guy starts slamming stuff, I hear this other guy start crying.
Oh, so he cried in response to the slamming stuff, seemingly?
And maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. And I feel like I have this story a little bit wrong, too. But I know there was weird shit going on. And I feel like there was somebody crying or sobbing or something to where, like, I was just feeling like, this guy's crazy. Like, he's going to do something drastic. Uh-huh. And I was afraid to leave the stall. Because he's in the other stall, and I was like, okay, I could run for it and just get out of there as fast as I can.
That's what I would do.
I think, yeah, that's what I ended up doing. But I was so nervous because I feared for my life. Like, there was obviously something seriously, seriously wrong going on. Yeah. And I was thinking, okay, I could call the police. And be like, hey guys, I'm locked in a stall, there's a guy like freaking out next to me, I'm afraid to leave. But instead I you know, like a trooper, I ran out of the bathroom,
like, ran out, don't look back, just like pretty, gone, like
pretty let much
that, let that sort itself out.
Pretty much
Well, was the sobbing coming from, like, it's just like a regular stall, not like a handicap stall?
No, it was coming from a regular stall.
I don't know. I don't know why I asked that. I'm not saying handicapped people cry more often.
I did walk in. Okay, well, I will save that for never. But there was another one where, okay, this is the creepiest possible. Yeah, this is the creepiest. And it all happens, at where I work. I'm in the stall. this is, I can't believe that we've taken like probably an hour just talking about bathroom stories.
What happened was you asked me, how are you doing? And I said, I don't want to pee in a cup. And then this happened.
See, this is bad. This is very bad. And we'll end it very soon, guys. I have one more story and we'll wrap it up. This is, you've been listening to the Talk Talk with Dylan. I really appreciate it.
With your guest, Daniel.
Daniel Spagnuolo.
Thanks for listening. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be back. Glad to be back.
It's good to be back. It's good to finally be talking and...
So, anyway, one last scary pee story.
So I'm in the stall and I hear this guy at the urinal and he's talking to himself, but he's whispering things like, come on, man. Wait, listen, come on. Yeah, you got this one. What? You got this one, little fella.
Oh, was he with a kid?
No. It was, come on. Oh, and he's like, ooh, yeah, that's the stuff.
So you don't hear like the tinkling of piss. He's just saying this.
He's like talking to his penis to like kind of like make it feel welcome and like, yeah, it's nothing sexual.
He's not a master.
No. It's all like talking to his penis to assure it that it's in a safe place and that it can do what it's supposed to do and trying to do. And he's like, just kind of like, you know.
Did you eventually hear him urinate?
I got out of there before.
that's probably what I would have done.
Yeah, it was just the creepiest, weirdest thing I've ever heard. Oh, ever. Oh,
you got this.
And he said something even creepier, and I wish I could recall it, but it was like, it was just something really, really creepy. Just like,
you do this all the time.
Yeah, close to that. Like, I really don't know.
Come on, you're the king. Come on. You got this. You know, I mean, like, as much as that's hilarious, maybe, like, I need to try that. Like, maybe that's what, you know, like, positive reinforcement in the spot, like, kind of like telling yourself, hey, you got this. Like, hey, guys go to the bathroom all the time in front of other guys, and no one's worrying about it. Like, you just have to give yourself
Please give yourself that pep talk in your own mind.
Oh, yeah. That's a mental conversation.
Talk about it.
That's not an out loud conversation.
This guy was an out loud conversation talking to the penis.
That's weird, yeah.
Hey, but a guy's got to do what a guy's got to do, and if you're a nervous tinkler or a timid tinkler, then whatever you got to do to get the job done.
I agree with you fully.
And on that note, I say good night, and Daniel is going to play us out with a song.
Hi, my name's Daniel. This is a song I wrote called Keep It Together. I hope you like it. And I won't be the blood that you bleed, and I won't be the crutch on which you lean, and I won't be the splint keeps it together, keeps it together, keeps it together. You don't expect Ahab to mend a broken fin. Don't expect Daniel to pull a thorn from a paw. So don't expect me to come in anymore. I've got no more grafts to give, and all my veins are poor. And I know you're suffering, and I know you need a nurse, But I'd rather be the faith you have, even when it gets worse. Thank you.